to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter number 12. Luke chapter number 12. I do apologize. I did forget the birthdays this week. And at the birthdays, Charlene Colvin's birthday is on the 5th. Stephen Terrell's birthday on the 5th. If I didn't announce it, then Steve would have came and thrown things at me or been mad at me. So we need to make sure that Sammy Aonley's birthday is on the 5th and Marshall Creech's birthday is on the 7th. So happy birthday to those. So Luke chapter number 12 this morning. We're going to start our reading in verse number 16. Luke chapter number 12, verse number 16. The title of this morning's message is, What Are You Living For? What are you living for? Luke chapter 12, verse 16, the word of God says, And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for me for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in word of prayer and ask the Lord to help us this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. Lord, I pray that you help us during the service this morning. Lord, you clear our hearts and minds from any type of distractions. And Lord, help us to get the exact message you would have us to hear from you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there's an interesting word there in verse number 20. The Bible says, But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. That next word, then, whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? That little word then means when everything's all over, when everything's said and done, when it's the last book, last page, last paragraph, last sentence, last word, then what are things going to be about? All of our lives can be summarized in two words, now and then. This man, this rich man, he was only interested in the now. He was only interested in what he could do for himself now. And God says, I want you to live your life considering what it's going to be like then. The idea of the message this morning is this thought. If we're going to live in light of eternity, we cannot live for now. Instead, we need to be living for then. Say, what do you mean by then? Not meaning by the day and moment where you will have to stand before God. The day and moment when your life is over. The Bible tells us, it says, And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. This past week, I had the privilege of being with a couple different families who is going to, unless the Lord supernaturally interacts, is going to die at an early age because of cancer. And I had the privilege of talking with them and spending time with them. And both of them know the Lord and they know where they're going. But it helps us realize that life is short. Life is precious. Life is not here to waste. Life is here to be used for the Lord. And what the Bible is saying here in this passage of Scripture is saying this man, and this is a parable, and he's saying this man was living for himself. But what God wants us to do, as I said at the end of verse number 21, be rich toward him, means serve him. Give of yourself to him. There's three things I want you to think about this morning. First thing I want you to think about is the failure of success, the future of sinners, and the faithfulness of the saved. To help you understand a little bit of the passage of Scripture, go up to verse number 13. Verse 13, Jesus has been teaching to a group of people, a multitude, and that's what Jesus did. He taught the masses and the multitudes, and there's a whole group there. And you picture and imagine in your mind that you got a group out here as I'm speaking to you, but Jesus on his side over here has his disciples. he's talking and he's teaching, and someone from the crowd out there interrupts Jesus. Now, don't anybody interrupt me, please. But interrupts Jesus and tells Jesus, says, Jesus, my brother won't divide the inheritance. You make him divide it with me. But Jesus knows his heart. Jesus knows his attitude. Let's look at his response. Verse number 13, and one of the company, one of the crowd, said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Man, this man was just asking Jesus for help. Why wouldn't Jesus help him? Well, can you imagine what this man is sitting there? He's there and Jesus is telling him, I can see him wiggling his way to the front. In a really loud voice, he goes to Jesus and says, Jesus, my brother's not treating me right. I want the money that's coming to me. And Jesus knows his attitude. Jesus knows his heart. And Jesus tells him, look, beware. He knows that this man is coveting after something, and that his covetousness is one of the greatest sins among Christians today. It's a sin that many people cannot see. It's something that's not done out in the open. But where's your heart at? We heard about that not this past Sunday night, but the Sunday night before that from Brother Mark. That's where your treasure is, where your heart is at. And Jesus is telling this man, he says, look, your life is a lot more important than that money that you think you deserve. And what he's saying here at the end of verse number 15, he says, for a man's life consists of not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. He's saying your life is a lot more important than the things you can get, the things you can acquire, the things you can accumulate, the amount of money you have, all the possessions you have. Your life means a lot more than that. And that's what Jesus tells this man. He doesn't even stop there. He goes a step farther and he gives this parable, and he shows this parable about this rich man who thought he had it all figured out. And let's look here, and let's look at the failure of success. Look what it says in verse number 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. I want you to notice here in verse number 16, it doesn't say that because the man worked and because the man used the right seed and man planted the right crop and because he plowed and because he did all these different things that the ground brought forth great because of what he did. What does the Bible say? It says the ground brought it forth plentifully. And what the Bible is saying here is that God was the one that gave this man the opportunity to become wealthy or have a great abundance. But you see here, what he does is, in verse number 17, he begins to think within himself. He begins to ask himself this question. He begins to say, hey, what should I do? But you do not see him turn to God and say, God, thank you for what you gave me. God, what is it I should do with this abundance? No, instead he comes up with this plan all to himself. And who does he think about? Does he think about the poor? Does he think about the needy? Who does he think about? He thinks about himself. As he thinks about himself, God shows him that even when you have great success, when in the world's eyes and you can have many items and much things, you still can fail. You still can fail. The Bible teaches us in Deuteronomy 8, verse 18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. It is God that ultimately decides what we can and what we cannot do. It is God that provides the opportunities, gives us the abilities, and gives us the know-how to be able to accomplish things for him. This man doesn't see this. He doesn't put that in that perspective. He doesn't consider this. I told the men yesterday at our prayer breakfast. We had a good time. Next time we have it in March, I encourage you guys to come out. I was humbled this past week. You know, I sat and I looked at, most of you know who Bear is, big, strong guy. Heard stories about him, and heard a lot of interesting stories about him, and, you know, how kind he was. But as a younger person, he lived a little bit of a different life than what we know him of and what God had did in his life. But I sat and saw this man who I heard him tell stories and his family tell stories, how he picked up hundreds of pounds of things and how most people use a jack to jack up a truck, that at times his friend said he went back and he picked the truck up while the person changed the tire. I mean, that wasn't coming from Bear, that was coming from his friends. This big, strong man. And then I saw him there, laying there, and he couldn't do anything. And I don't, you might say, well, it's wrong for you to talk about Brother Bear when he's not here or when he's going through this. I tell you, Brother Bear wants his testimony given. Something happened on Friday morning that they weren't going to do the procedure for a little while because his heart was acting funny, and he needed to get his heart rate to a certain spot, and we were praying with him, and the nurse came in and said right afterwards, she says, I'd never seen that happen before. And he's like, what, you never seen people pray? He's like, no. And he says, I'd never seen prayer work that quick. Your heart's doing a lot better. And he looked at me and he said, you got another story to tell. And he says, no, I want you to tell that story. He says, I want people to know that he's here, that he was unable. And he is today in a bed, unable. Now, he is stronger than what most of us would ever dream of being. He, in his physical self, he can do great things. But he's at a point now where physically he can't. And this teaches us and shows us something. What does this teach us and show us? That we are completely and utterly dependent upon God. It teaches us that we are completely and utterly, we can't do anything in our own. That these things that we might accumulate in this world, and the world might look at us and say, hey, look, they got this, they got that, they got a great job, they got this and that, that you can fail and have all the things you ever wanted if you leave God out. And I can tell in Brother Bear's testimony, and what you know about him, is that there's people even here today because his interest is what? Getting people to church. Getting people to the Lord. And it wasn't built on how big and strong he was. It was built off what he could do for God. And we heard his testimony on that probably this past year on that Sunday night. And I want to encourage you that this man here that lived for himself, who did not ask God what he should do with his items, or did not ask God what he should do with the things that God had given him, God says he was a fool. He was a fool. Why is he a fool? Well, let's think about this. The second thing is the future of sinners. You see what the Bible says in verse number 17, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there's nothing wrong with having items. There's nothing wrong with having possessions. There's nothing wrong when God blesses you and you're able to do and produce more. God does not condemn that. God actually talks about how to enjoy the things of this world. And he says, build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. Now what he's saying, I ain't giving anything to anybody. I'm going to take and I'm going to bestow all my fruits and all my, I am not going to give anything to anyone. Let's keep on going. It says, and I will say to my soul. Now once again, this is where he should be talking to God and he should be speaking to God, but he's speaking to himself and he's saying to his soul, he says, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for me many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He has it all worked out and he has it all planned out. But the reason why God calls him a fool is because he was not considering the then. He was not thinking about the moment he was going to stand before God. He was not considering what it was going to be like to someday stand before an almighty God and have to give an account of what he did with his son. And that's what it says in verse number 20. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? What it's saying here is he had gained so much and had gained so much of the world. But guess what? In the end, he was a fool because he never prepared for the day he was going to meet God. The Bible says, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? This morning, what are you living for? What is it that you're living for? Are you prepared to meet God someday? Well, like I said, God is in control and God can know and do all things. Bear might outlive us. You never know. He tells a story about his dad was told that he was going to die within 2 weeks and his dad lived 25 years longer. We know God's capable of doing all things. But Bear is giving a testimony. He's ready for the day he's prepared to meet God. He's ready to stand before God because he's put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Have you done the same? Third thing I want you to think about is the faithful or the faith of the saved. Jesus does not want us to live. If you're a Christian here and you're a believer here, you have much to be thankful for. You should understand everything we have, it comes from God. And we appreciate the things, and we treat it as it's not our own, but we treat it as if it's God. In verse 21, he begins to talk about how we're supposed to live and how we're supposed to act. Let's look what it says. Verse 21, so is he. What does it mean, so is he? It's referring, he's saying, you're a fool also. Just like that rich man, he was a fool, and you are a fool also, that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. It's saying there that you're going to be foolish. You're just going to be like that foolish rich man. That's what the Bible's saying. This is Jesus talking. This is, so is he. It's, if you're going to take and lay up all your treasure for yourself here in this world and not be rich towards God. Verse 22, and he said unto his disciples. Now, remember the scenario. Jesus is talking to a crowd. He's talking to the masses here. He's talking to them. He's teaching them. This man comes to him, interrupts his teaching, and then he begins to tell that parable. Now we see him turning and talking to his disciples. We don't know if they were behind him. We don't know where the sides. But he stops and he looks to his disciples. He tries to teach his disciples something that the masses are not going to hear, that the masses are not going to understand, that the masses are going to turn around and say, that's crazy. I have no interest in doing that. I have no interest in hearing about that. He turns to his disciples. Whose disciples? His disciples are ones that want to live for God. His disciples are the ones that want to make their life count for God. His disciples are the ones that are willing to pick up their cross and follow after him. He goes and he teaches this portion to that group that wants to be dedicated to God. So if you want to be dedicated to God, what does it say here? And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body or what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, with neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them, and have much more. Are ye better? How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? You know, that verse meant a lot to me this week when I was thinking, boy, I would love to help these people who I know are sick. And I would love to be able to take their cancer away if I could, or help Miss Mary that's in the hospital with the heart failure. I'd like to help them. But then I realized how humbled I was that we cannot do anything on our own. The Bible gives this example. He says, look, you can't even add one cubit to your stature. Then what is it that you can do? All we can do is learn to depend on God. And that's what he keeps on saying here. He keeps on going. He says, if ye then not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought of the rest? God is saying, if you are so worried about taking care of yourself here in this world, if you can't fix anything in your own life physically, then why can't you let me take care of you with everything else? Here's the thought. You know, if we can't heal ourselves, if we can't add an inch to our height, then why do we need to worry about all the other details? Shouldn't we just leave those things in God's hands? Verse 26, if ye be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow, and they toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow and cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? Now take your Bible and drop down to verse number 30. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. What he's saying, that is what the masses do. That is what those who do not believe in God do. They worry about all those other things. He says, but for all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. And he's saying, look, don't you be like that. But in verse 31, he tells you, this is how you're not going to waste your life and waste your time here, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heaven that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The The Bible is saying here, look, you got two choices with your life. Two choices. And once again, he's talking to the masses. He's talking to the people that came to hear what he had to say. Maybe even some believers out there in that crowd. And he says, look, if you want to waste your life, go and do what verse 21 says. Lay up your treasures here in this world. Don't give thought for God. Lay up your treasures and be like that fool that he had just talked about. But if you want to live your life being productive for God, then do what verse 31 says. Seek ye the kingdom of God. Now, in family devotions this past week, it was talking about being a good steward. And it's not just being a good steward of your money, but what they talked about in our family devotions this back week, being good steward of our time. And you know what? We can waste a lot of time. We can do a lot of things. We all have the same amount of hours, the same amount of minutes. We might not all have the same amount of years, I know, in lifespan, but we all have a certain amount of time where we can do something. And we can spend time, and I enjoy spending time with my family. I enjoy going to watch them play basketball or going to spend time playing a board game with them. I'm not saying you can't have family time, obviously, but I'm saying that there's a lot of people who waste a lot of time on internets and TVs, and they waste a lot of time on things, social media, that they could be doing something productive for the Lord, but instead having their face in the book, they got their face on Facebook. And like I said, there's nothing wrong. I'm not saying there's a lot of bad things about the internet, but the internet can be a very powerful and good tool. And I mean, there's a lot of bad things on TV, but there's some productive things you can watch on TV. You know, there's a lot of good things, but we have a problem where we waste so much of our time doing things that have no consideration of the then. We live for the now, and we forget about the then. And what we need to do is learn to live our lives and the now, thinking about the then, and laying our self treasures up in heaven, living for him. I don't know about you, but as I thought and preached or read and studied, man, there's a lot of things that I could be more productive at. A lot of areas that, you know, I could probably tighten up in to be able to do more for God. And I hope that's the same thought that you have today. How much am I really working to lay up for the then? We can get so mixed up with the now and the here and now and the laying up of treasures and the providing and doing all those things. And it could even be working and making money to support your family. The Bible says you're supposed to do that. The Bible says if you don't do that, you're worse than an infidel. The Bible talks about that. I'm talking about the extra, the things where you don't really need, but you just live so you can have that. That's living in the now. That's not thinking about then. So this morning, let's leave the now and consider the then for a moment. Someday, you will stand before an almighty God. Someday, you will either stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ as a believer for what you have done with the time he gave you on this world as a Christian. And I think that time and moment, many times people are thinking they're going to get a reward, but I think much of it will be burned up because they had the wrong heart attitude about it. I don't want to be like that someday. I want to stand before God, and I want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And I think that's a desire of many of us, but that's not going to happen when we do not make good use of our time. And we waste the years, the moments, and the weeks away. And the second thing is that if you're not a believer, if you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ, you will stand before God, and the Bible says the books will be open. You won't be standing before God trying to say, "Well, God, I did this, this, and this, and this." And the Bible says if your name is not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you'll be cast into a horrible place called hell. You say, "How do I get in that book?" You get in the book by getting in Christ, getting in Jesus, by putting your faith and trust in him and believing on him and crying out and repenting of your sins and asking him to save you. That's what it means. It's a message that's given to everyone. God sent his son down this cross to die for the sins of mankind. So praise the Lord. Thankful for that. Now, here's the thought. What are you living for today? Is there something in your thought process in your life that this is what I'm living for. And if it involves the now, we need to consider the then. You can enjoy life. I tell you, the times I've enjoyed life the most is when I was considering the then. Even when I'm raising my family, it helps so much better when I consider the then instead of living for the now. When I'm trying to witness to people, it's so much better to think about the then than how they might feel right now. Every part of my life, if I consider the then, I will enjoy my life so much easier. Here's one last thought. Curtis Hudson was the editor of Sword of the Lord for a number of years. One of the last messages he ever preached, he asked the question, are you sailing or are you rowing? And here's the thought. He says, I spent my whole life rowing, working hard and hard and hard. And this was a great preacher, great man of God, did great many things. He says, I spent my whole life trying to make things happen. And he says, I want to spend the rest of my life just sailing. He said, what do you mean sailing? He says, meaning that I put the sails up, a white flag, and let the Holy Spirit take and lead and direct and just ride along. Doesn't mean that you're going to be lazy, but instead of trying to do the work on your own, you're going to do the work in the Holy Spirit of God's power and allow Him to provide the power, allow Him to provide the strength. And instead of rowing so hard, you need to let Him sail along. What does that mean? It means giving up your life and allowing Him to take control, and allowing Him to lead and direct, and allowing Him to make your life plentiful. This morning, are you ready to meet God someday? If you've ever asked Jesus Christ in your heart as your personal Savior, just a second, we're going to have an invitation. I encourage you, when you hear the music play, come forward and we'll have somebody take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. Secondly, if you're a believer here today, how have you done this past year in laying up treasures in heaven? Where has your focus been? I know we're busy people. We have so much. We want to be productive. I want to be productive. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to accomplish. I want to do all, everything I can. But how much of it is based off of trying to lay up treasures in heaven? I'm not even just talking about the reward. I'm talking about not wasting the moments and times that we have because we do not know how long we're going to be here. Brother Bear is 49 years old. We don't know how much longer he's going to be here. But you know what? That's the same guarantee each and every one of us have. Are we going to waste the time God's given us? Or are we going to be thinking about the then? Seeking the kingdom of God. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed.